Okay, and we're back. Our number two. We're going to take a look at something that Americans don't want to hear about, especially those people living up in Pasco, Richland, and Kennewick, the Tri-Cities area, right around the Hanford Nuclear Reservation, or whatever they're calling it now. We should call it what it is, a nuclear catastrophe. It has made the Columbia River, this was predictable many years ago, the most radioactive river in the world, as far as we know. It is not safe, it is not healthy, and it is only going to get worse. There probably is about as much chance of cleaning up Hanford as there is of cleaning up Fukushima Daiichi, which isn't much. If you have seen Yoichi Shimatsu's wonderful paper on the Hanford disaster, you'll understand. If you haven't, look at his name and guests and just click on Hanford disaster right below it. It'll take you right to the paper. Hanford site, West Coast Radiation Crisis Part 3. Welcome back, Yoichi.
Well, thanks a lot, Jeff. Apologies for not being on your show. You know, recently I was staying up there in the Puget Sound area, and the U.S. Navy, they run their growler aircraft up there, so there's a lot of jamming of communications up there. One night when you tried to call me, the phone was just knocked out from all this jamming that's going on as they practice for missions all around the world to knock out radar-sized communication control. Basically, electronic warfare practice goes on there.
Sure.
And it does affect certain areas if you're in between heavily populated towns out in the countryside. You know, it must be a nightmare for some of the farmers who live.
Well, the whole ECM world is unknown by most people. Electronic countermeasures, they call it, but it's electronic warfare.
Happening in the U.S. where they have to practice, obviously, before they head off on aircraft carriers and go off to points unknown to the next war and the next war after that.
Endless.
Yeah. Anyway, I was, as we discussed before, I was at Bremerton Naval Shipyard, where the Ronald Reagan was parked for cleansing and refitting for 18 months.
Was it there that long? Wow.
18 months, yeah. So this wasn't just a hose down. You know, in fact, they cleaned the, all the water out of the ship earlier. I think the big problem, the reason they couldn't carry a crew is because the water got into the desalination system. They used heat from the nuclear reactors to desalinate seawater so the seamen can have drinking water for their coffee and so on and take showers and all. And that was radioactive from Fukushima. So this is major pipe work, you know, all the fittings, all the gaskets, a lot of electronics controls had to be changed because they went haywire. So there was a massive pile of junk, you know, scrap steel, radioactive scrap steel and parts out of the Reagan. And they had to put that, and there's a train, in fact, a special train that runs from the Bremerton Naval Shipyard, goes right through the gate, crosses out through Seattle, right, downtown Seattle, to Hanford, where it is buried. And my report showed photo, in fact, of a earth mover bulldozer burying naval, you know, equipment as my truck passed along there. So it's ongoing. And worse than maybe the stuff from the USS Ronald Reagan, the aircraft carrier, is the 117 cores of reactors, nuclear reactors from decommissioned submarines that are taken apart at Bremerton. It's the only port in the U.S. where this job is done. And they're put on barges that go up Puget Sound, take the turn around the San Juan Straits, around Nea Bay, go down to Portland area, and go up to Columbia. They have to switch tugboats then. And then it goes up to Port Benson, which is right next to Hanford. And they're moved on to, you know, sort of pushed over onto these land carriers, the types that, the kind of carriers that carry large Sherman tanks, that sort of thing, Abrams tanks. And they're moved at 5 miles an hour into Hanford, where they're buried, 117 nuclear reactors buried there. The fuel goes to Idaho Falls by truck. So
117 nuclear reactors are buried at Hanford.
Yeah, and this is a real problem. And they're not even covered. There's they're inside trenches, but they have to leave them uncovered so that the Russian spy satellites can count them, because the United States has to, you know, prove to the Russians that they are decommissioning
of course.
Ballistic missile submarines. Okay, so
every time I hear the term, every time I hear the word Bremerton, I wonder how many ICBMs, how many MIRV warheads are targeted for Bremerton from the Chinese and the Russians and who else? Who knows?
Yeah, I suppose it would be certainly a major target, but you don't have to have Russian nuclear warheads pounding Seattle for the area to be radioactive. Obviously, these transits, all the decommissioning work, there's leakage, radiation levels go up and down. They're very careful now because in 2010, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, issued a citation against Bremerton for all sorts of leakage of chemicals, radioactive compounds, and all that. So they're very careful now, as they were with the Ronald Reagan. They have to be very cautious because if the public got wind of what's going on, there'd be an outcry in Washington. And it wasn't until, I think it was 2011, 2012, that positions for social responsibility in Washington State actually began to discuss the issue of these nuclear reactors going out. So it's been kept secret for a long time. And just astounding, you know, that I stumbled upon this, you know, thanks to shipyard workers there who are concerned about their own health and all that. And, you know, then they're not supposed, I suppose they were ordered not to disclose the destination, but the track obviously leads from Bremerton. You can see the railroad bridges, a couple of railroad bridges on the way, and you can see the track go right down into Hanford.
Your paper, Hanford Site, West Coast Radiation Crisis Part 3, has pictures of the front of aircraft carriers there. Is one of those the Reagan? No.
Oh, no. The Reagan had departed. I think that was the Kitty Hawk, which was built in Japan. There was another one. There's a bunch of aircraft. It's called Carrier Row there. That's where they dock the carriers for repair jobs. You know, and they obviously replaced nuclear fuel there, and there is no information about that, how, you know, fuel rods are changed and all that. Fuel rods are taken out of there and sent to Idaho. So there is still an information black hole of exactly what the Navy is doing there. And let's face it, these are pretty useless items. The Cold War is over. The Russian fleet in Vladivostok is just the junk. You know, it's underwater, most of it. It's just, you know, it's sunken. The Chinese fleet is pretty negligible. Most of their submarines are like more like tactical rather than strategic submarines. I don't think they even have any strategic submarines that, you know, fire these long-range ballistic missiles. So there's this vast fleet in the Pacific with no enemy. Except itself. Yeah, I mean, maybe the only enemy is the American people, because they're the ones who are getting irradiated by this fleet, you know? So this is a real concern. I mean, more seamen were injured due to the Fukushima, being in the proximity of Fukushima aboard the Reagan, than any of its conflict zones. So this is, you know, it's sort of like we've met the enemy, and the enemy is us situation. It's all starting to backfire in the United States at a time when it can least afford these massive weapons against them. It's not even a nebulous enemy. There isn't an enemy to use these weapons against. You know, you're not going to use ballistic missiles against the Taliban, obviously. I mean, you know, so, or against any, you know, insurgents and, or whatever, any against Syria or Iran. These would never be used. So it's a pretty outdated fleet. But the problem is, even by decommissioning the submarines, it leaves a huge problem there for the people of, especially in the port, not only the Tri-Cities area, but also Portland, that there's this vast amount of nuclear scrap there that's just sitting there, and there's just no other alternative than Hanford at this point. So, really, you know, Yucca Mountain, obviously, that is a no-go. That was shot down many years ago.
Well, it shouldn't have been. We really needed that. That was a very important issue.
Yeah, there has to be some sort of permanent repository in some mountain that's away from a fault line.
Nobody wants to take it on. The Swiss are building an extraordinarily big, deep underground facility.
And the problem is no one wants to take it. And if there is a fire, a serious accident, or a major leak from these water tanks at Hanford, the city of Portland, well, people will actually have to evacuate the place. It's over. And Portland is the center of what's called Silicon Forest, the headquarters of Intel, major chip producer, high-tech company. This will be a strategic blow to the American economy. Also, it's a major port to the Asia Pacific region. If there's a major problem at Hanford, you're going to see America. I mean, it's more than a black eye. It's going to really hammer the American economy from coast to coast. So, very serious situation at Hanford, and
Talk more about
we'll
that.
We'll get into more of that in a second. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. Very good. Yoshi Shimatsu is with us, and he's up. He's down now in Southern Cal, I guess, but he was up in the area of Hanford, Bremerton, Portland, and the Columbia River. What a tragedy! What a tragedy! We've talked about this for many years on the program. How those underground storage tanks are leaking. They knew it, and it was only a matter of time before it worked its way into the river. Water coming from the sides and into the main flow, and it has, and it is, and it's there. All right, be right back. Okay, and we're back with Yochi talking about the issues that really are now worldwide. The entire Northern Hemisphere, of course, has been nailed by Fukushima Daiichi, which shows no sign of slowing down. I sent you a story today, another understatement, a massive understatement of the amount of damage that's being done by the release and the production, the continuing production of radioactive materials coming out of and underneath the plant at Daiichi. 400 tons of water a day, is that what they're dumping? I can't remember the figure.
Well, at least. I think it's much more than that, depending on the rainfall. They're taking advantage of the rainy season there, which, well, it really gets going later in the month, toward the end of the month. But I think they're holding back for then, and they're going to release a lot then. There's no doubt about it. The tanks are completely full there. They're leaking anyway, or at least they say they're leaking. That might just be an excuse to just dump even more contaminated water. They're going to do this in large volumes when the rainfall comes off the mountain, so that it floats on top of the salt water of the sea and floats across the Pacific. They want to get it away from the shores of Japan and from the 200-mile nautical economic zone around Japan. So very cynical what the government is doing there in coordination with the Tokyo Electric Power Company. So,
yeah.
Yeah, right, you were sending today was, I think, a report from TEPCO, new publicity department. They've got British, English, native English speakers there from England with a nuclear-related public relations companies working there at Tokyo Electric to bamboozle the rest of the world, you know? They're failing to fool the Japanese people. They have to intimidate them rather than fool them from now on. But right now they have to, put a cloak of deceit and disinformation over, basically pull the wool over American eyes because they know that the American public is not very happy about the radiation coming over in the skies, in the water, in the food, in the Japanese products. Everything from Japan contains some level of radioactivity, and the cumulative load is massive. And you have to remember, President Obama and his administration, they want to pass the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which would increase that flow of trade massively. So we're talking about radiation pouring across in ever greater amount from Japan. So they have to fool the American people, and do that, they hire English-speaking, native English speakers for the PR, who are claiming that the levels on the boundaries of the Fukushima number one plant have been going down. And the levels that they're suggesting is something like half of what I measured, like about 4 or 5 kilometers away. So it doesn't add up. What they're saying, and I can see their point, you know, they're probably not making outright lies, but the boundaries of Fukushima, you have to understand, a lot of that is the time of day they measure, the seasons they measure, the wind direction that they measure, and also because these plants on three sides are surrounded by massive evergreen forests that were planted there, which block a lot of the radioactive dust. But just a kilometer or so outside the plant, you get the real level of releases, which are massive. You know, basically, Namie is still a ghost town. The expressway is closed there. There's not a bit of activity. They're desperately trying to reopen that town to show that...
Well, they're planting... I don't know if it's there, Yochi, but you know they're planting rice in an area that people are still not allowed to spend the night in. And this is commercial rice. It's going to be harvested and sold.
This is the illusion. They're trying to create this picture postcard image of normality there, that people have returned when they haven't. Most of the people haven't. They don't dare go back, especially families with children. They're putting all sorts of pressure for people to go back and try, and including trying to disqualify them from going to schools outside of the area. So there's massive pressure being put on people to move into areas that would be considered
exactly
a disaster site anywhere else in the world.
Anywhere.
Okay.
So
yeah,
what they're doing, they're killing their own people here, obviously by the hundreds of thousands in time. They're shortening their lives.
Yeah.
There are going to be so many cancers, they won't be countable. 60 million Japanese have been made toxic by radiation. That's a conservative estimate. And meanwhile, these urban constant incineration units are at work 24/7 in some cases, or nearly, burning up radioactive material and putting into the atmosphere radioactive nuclides. This is so crazy, it's you wouldn't believe it. You just literally couldn't believe it.
This would outrage for a science fiction movie, and it's happening before our eyes. And thanks to the complicity of the Obama government, which is entirely pro-nuclear, which shut down all the monitors along the West Coast, leaving the civilian
shut them
population.
Down. They packed a lot of them up and took them out, too.
Yeah, undefended. I mean, uninformed, undefended situation is grievous. And so we must continue our efforts. It won't be long before I'm back in Fukushima making other assessments. We had constantly, it's an uphill struggle. We would like to just be able to focus on the residents who are forced to stay there because they don't have money, they're retired, they have no way to move out, to take care of them. But to have to tit for tat try to counter the lies coming out of, the national government, out of the provincial government, and out of the Tokyo Electric Company and all the utility and construction companies, the Hitachis, Toshiba, the GEs. This is this is just ridiculous. Every agency there that in a democratically elected government that's there to protect public health has just basically shut down when it comes to radiation. And here in the United States too. As my series on the West Coast has shown, they're in total denial. Ostriches with their head in the sand, and that sand happens to be radioactive. Okay?
Lying denial too.
Yeah.
So what else? We got a break here, but what else is going on at Hanford that we need to know about? We'll talk about that.
Well, the city of Richland is growing. There's new developments right on the banks of the Columbia River, directly in front of nuclear power plants. This is really crazy. families with children are settling there right across the river. We're talking about 100 yards from Hanford, right across the river, right on the shore there. And I just shudder to think, and how America is, the United States is going now. We're seeing because of this economic crisis, people are getting desperate, they need cheaper housing, they're moving into less desirable sites, and you see these young women, teenage mothers with babies, strolling next to the Columbia River because they have nowhere else to go.
I know.
And it's just like heartbreaking to see the fact that these kids aren't getting a proper education, a scientific education. No one's there to protect them. And they have nowhere else to go. They don't have the money to drive to a safer place to take their kids away. So I don't know. Children and baby strollers are in these, these slings that mothers are carrying their infants in, walking along right there by the Columbia River.
It boggles me.
Right in your face.
Yeah.
And this is where I took the highest measurements, right?
Oh,
below
great.
All the plants, right below the electric power plant.
It's
0.28. Everything along the river is contaminated to a high level, including the carcass of a dead fawn, highly irradiated, obviously.
Really?
By coyotes,
eaten
by coyotes, which obviously there's bioaccumulation. These dogs are dead meat.
Yeah.
I mean, there's cattle there with incredibly high levels of
radiation. All right, hold on, Yochi. Let's come back and revisit this in just a minute. We got to carry on with this. This is This is preposterous. Sheep to the slaughter. They're just marching up, going right into the slaughterhouse, these people moving there. I just don't get it. Just a minute, we'll be back. Okay, we're back. Now, Yoichi Shimatsu went up there and he metered, he tested. And he's telling, I didn't know this, he tested dead fawns, coyotes, cattle are eating, of course, the grass. The bioaccumulation is obviously severe and going to get worse. This is a tragedy. It is already a catastrophe. This ought to be headlines coast to coast. It should be. This is a major environmental disaster. And it is not getting any worse. So you're up there at the part of the river just below Hanford, and you were taking readings. Tell us a little bit more about what you found.
Well, basically, it was difficult because it's snow melt season now, so the river is at full flood. So I could not access any of the water plants. I originally wanted to get the plants in the water. Because water is a very difficult measure because of the reflectivity of water. The gamma rays bounce around, and you're going to get 20 times lower levels than you're measuring. And I had these Geiger counters that can measure, but they would have been off by, 20 times. So I was hoping to find some water plants, but, you know, even some of the trees along the branches were underwater. So I had to content myself with the grasses, the trees, and vegetation is pretty sparse there. But I found that sage, you know, sagebrush, the stuff, the tumbling weeds that you see in the westerns and all that.
Yep.
Very high levels of radiation in those. They seem to be huge.
Interesting. Absorbers.
The ground is very arid, so there's very little moisture to carry radiation, but the plants were accumulating quite high. The trees less so, but most things that are close to the ground, high levels. And animals, a lot of wild animals, and on the outside of Hanford, right along the fences, there's cattle and horses grazing along there. And so very high, right out, and not far from the plant, we're talking about half a mile away, there are major cattle ranges where they grow grass. And hay for cattle. There's fruit farms there, mainly apples, maybe cherries.
Yep.
So there's a lot of agriculture in the area because it is along the Columbia River gorge where there's hydropower plants and there's agriculture there. Mm-hmm. So it's not like an unpopulated area. It's a rural area with a lot of people there. And I was astonished that, you know, right outside Hanford, there wasn't much into the north. West, there wasn't much radiation because that's a prevailing wind. But about 30 miles upstream, there was around Wanapum Dam. It's a hydro dam with a high sort of butte behind it.
You have a picture of that in your report.
Yeah, that's where I got a pretty high reading, and it just puzzled me what was going on. Later, when I'm down by the plant, I'm astonished. The guy that's driving with me and I, he brought a pair of binoculars. We're astounded. We see this massive fire inside one of the power plants. You know, the door, it's like a large bay door that would fit at least two or three trucks, okay?
Yeah.
Two stories tall.
Right.
And there's massive flames coming out of there. Now, I ran a picture of that. It's just a dot because it's a still camera. You just cannot appreciate by just a naked eye alone. You can tell there's a huge fire in there. And there's no smoke coming out. There's no fire alarms, no fire trucks, and it's going on and on and on, and we're wondering, what could this be? So it has to be a gas fire. Then it's starting to dawn on me, Hanford is supposedly being decommissioned, but what they're doing is because there are inspectors coming from other, you know, from the federal government, from other places.
Sure.
They're actually using these vast gas fires inside of these plants to remove all the radiation from the wall. To make it volatile and remove it from the walls and equipment.
Wait a minute. They're burning the inside of these things out?
Yeah, I mean, it's astounding. We're saying, what is that? First, we thought it was a nuclear reactor on fire. We thought we're dead.
Well,
there.
I'm looking at the picture now. I get it. Sure.
But, yeah, there's a little white light, and a photo just doesn't do it, because that's a very long distance. And a camera is not going to pick up,
And we see the sagebrush you're talking about in front of it is radioactive.
Yeah. So this is a vast fire. I mean, this is like a cargo bay full, a warehouse-sized place full of fire. Okay, flames rushing out of the place without emitting any smoke. And it was just the most puzzling thing I've ever seen. And then finally I realized, they're vaporizing the radiation from inside this, letting it go out of the building. It'll ascend up to the clouds. These clouds will move up the valley at nightfall, okay? Mm-hmm. And they'll hit that bluff at Wanapum, and that's where it's being deposited, right there on the Columbia River upstream.
Got it. Good thinking. Oh, well, you figured it out.
This was puzzling, because at first I thought maybe, if there's an explosion at a nuclear plant, mm-hmm. it's over. This is the last mission. This is it. Kiss it goodbye, basically. It's over, okay? But it turns out, I figured this has to be a method of decontamination, highly illegal. And they had shut down all the tours for Hanford at that time. They didn't reopen it till about a week later. So they, therefore, were doing this very intentionally. And the picture of the clouds I showed you there, they're very weird. They don't look like the other clouds. It was right over that plant. Very strange clouds there. There's a very fragmented pattern. Very weird patterns in the clouds overhead. So, this kind of stuff is obviously not being reported anywhere. Total violation of federal, state, and local.
Well, this burnout of the inside of this reactor building.
Well, it's not a reactor building. It is a thermal power plant, and you can assume that they've been burning low level waste there. Okay, there's like lubricants from nuclear plants, oil.
Oh, okay. So that's like one of the incinerators in Japan, basically.
Using
that.
You can burn anything to keep that. These are mixed gas, oil, any kind of fuel into these thermal power plants to generate power.
Uh-huh.
And it'll go up the chimneys into the sky. So that's how they dispose of a lot of the low-level waste, especially like oil that's been that's been contaminated. Lubricant oils inside nuclear plants.
I see.
That's what they're probably trying to burn all those hydrocarbons, all that oil buildup inside the wall, vaporize it and send it out into the skies and just basically dump it just as irresponsibly as the Japanese government is doing with the waste from
Fukushima. Well, I urge all of you to get hold of Yochi's paper and send it around, please.
Yeah, my article doesn't quite, I can describe it more graphically in the spoken words than I can in the written words because it is. It was just astounding. We're just standing there looking at this thing, wondering if we're going to die next, and then just trying to wonder what is going on. It's a shocking sight. What we couldn't see, of course, is the water leakage out of the tank. They're reporting half a dozen tanks are leaking. Now, a nuclear operator that I had spoken with told me all the tanks are leaking, that they only have a 20-year lifetime. Some of them are single hull. They have one layer of steel. Others are double hull, but he said the double hulls are leaking too. They're well into 40 years of service. They're all leaking,
What's the bottom line? There's no way to get rid of that stuff. How are they going to pump it all out? It's sludgy. It's mucky. How are they going to get it all out of there?
Tritium is settling to the bottom. See, the nuclear isotopes are settling down, so that's why they're afraid of a nuclear meltdown and explosion. Similar to the one. Well, it'll be of lesser power, but again, these walls are much thinner than a nuclear reactor. But basically, chemically, very similar to the one that ripped up Reactor 3 at Fukushima. Sort of a mini-nuclear fission explosion occurring that would ignite the hydrogen gas also. So you'd have this blowout over a water tank. And what they're afraid of is not so much of it going into the sky. They're afraid that the explosion might actually break through the crust of the Earth, which is pretty thin there, and enter the Pasco Aquifer, which would then feeds into the water supply for the whole area and also into the Columbia River. and because it's not very deep, apparently, this aquifer. And it would just affect millions and millions of people with drinking water. And that's why I say it's not a stretch of the imagination to say that Portland may have to be evacuated if that explosion occurs, and if it occurs in a downward direction. And, you know, the staff there are trying to come up with ways. They hired, I believe it was Bechtel, to come up with a solution to somehow mix the sediment with the water, but that's not working too well because there's many weak points. They want to use these sort of jet blowers in the water, jet turbines in the water to mix the stuff up. But there are many, many weak points. You have your gaskets, and so it could blow apart at any of those points.
Unreal.
And so now the project's been delayed from 3 years ago completion to now into 2020. Which is a long way down the
road.
And everyone is worried that no one is suggesting that any of those tanks could survive that long, that something's not going to occur.
All right,
before.
Well, you see.
And even if they get the system working, there's hundreds of tanks there, so
the
it's going to take them
chickens are
forever.
Coming home, folks. The nuclear chickens are on their way to roost. Be right back
this
with Yochi.
It's a disaster in the making.
It is. Hold on a minute. Okay, so you can read Yochi's paper, just click on his name. It's also in the Japan featured story box, and it's also in his columnist box. Pass it around, and if you know anybody living up there, by all means send them a copy or a link to it, please. Okay, the flora and fauna and the water up there, all showing increasing radioactivity. What you've just spelled out before the break was quite obvious. These tanks, how many of them are there? Hundreds.
There's hundreds of them. Yeah, there's two major tank farms, east and west, and there are hundreds of tanks.
So there's no way to deal with this. It just isn't.
Yeah, in other words, they're going to have to find. I know the government is in sequestration now. There's no budget, but they've blown a lot of money for these on defense contractors and these absurd wars in Afghanistan, which turned out to be total. No victory at all, right? America's pulling out. The Taliban's taken over. What a wasted effort. Thousands of American lives lost. Iraq, the same, madness. Libya, one thing after the other. They wasted money on all these wars. That money.
Well, they've killed millions of people. Millions of people.
And now they've blown this money, and this is the money that was needed to save the United States of America and American citizens. This is insane, and we got to question the sanity of the people who run this government and their motives. What is wrong with these people? The thing about Hanford is not that it's this, like I wrote, an evil Mordor covered with dark clouds in the middle of nowhere. It is in the middle of one of the most beautiful high desert valleys in America. Red rock, basalt coming out of the ground. There's buffalo in sight, okay? People are raising horses there. Mm-hmm. They're real cowboys there. Mm-hmm. There are gas stations that are not owned by the major oil companies. These are still, they're still independent, private gas stations there that serve you a real hamburger next door, okay? This is America of the past that's long been wiped out from the major cities and suburbs. This is one of the last remaining corners of American culture, okay, American civilization, of what you and I know, what people today see only in a Western movie. It's still there. People are still living that
That's
life.
That's wild.
Bales of hay everywhere. Oh. It's just a remarkably beautiful place. It's the center of apple growing in America. So this is the all-American place, and it's going to be wiped out. It's the last American. This is a national suicide, as much as Fukushima was a national suicide.
Well, it was and is. The Japan government shows...
It's self-destruction.
Complete.
And the people... Yeah. That's why I said the problem in the United States is not misgovernment. Misgovernment is malgovernance. It's bad government. And the people inside the system, if they don't wake up, I mean, there's a democratic responsibility among citizens in Japan, the United States, to get rid of these bums and thieves and crooks and liars, okay? There's no, I mean, it's high time. Otherwise, they're going to get rid of you. This is a fact. Once the Northwest goes down, what next? It's going to be out of control.
Sure.
All this radiation will be drifting over the Rocky Mountains, down with a jet stream, down to the south, right? And we've seen the weather changes I've talked about, you know? I have been warning since Fukushima, the ozone layer over the Arctic and Northern Hemisphere has been depleted. There's nothing but these freak storms getting more and more powerful, and we've seen what happened down in Texas and Oklahoma now. You know, it's not even hurricane season yet. You're seeing hurricanes from December through May. This is not the season. It's been happening since these radioactive releases at Fukushima. They're going to expand as Hanford runs out of control. San Onofre is out of control. It is all running out of control.
Yeah.
America will be destroyed by its own nuclear power. And unless something is done to shut it down now, put the stuff away in a safe place, make that the number one priority in America, Japan, and other countries. If America and Japan launch that effort to shut this down, the rest of the world has to.
There's no voice being heard speaking to that at all, Yochi. No one's speaking to that on a national level.
You've seen what happened to Oklahoma. You know, we've seen these massive tornadoes ever since Fukushima. And Al Gore and his Tennessee Valley Authority guys, you know, all the people there where they also develop nuclear power and all that, use electricity to develop nuclear power. These people have been predicting massive hurricanes, right? Sandy was a drop in the bucket compared to what's hitting the middle of America now. And it's only going to get worse as the whole weather system begins to really break down. We got floods, we got droughts. I mean, everything is in total havoc. And true, you know, carbon dioxide may be a problem in the atmosphere, but that's a problem for the next century, not for this century. The big problem now is this unleashing of nuclear waste into the skies and waters, which is really taking the place apart. And it won't be long. I think most Americans realize that America is no longer a great power society. You know, most Americans are broke, in debt, government's not functioning, social services aren't there. Nothing is happening except collapse. And when you lose your house to a tornado or a flood or a drought, it's over. Most people can't afford the insurance, and the insurance isn't willing to pay anymore because they don't have money either. So this is, I think, the end game. Either nuclear power wins and kills everybody, or people have got to stop, kill off nuclear power. This is a choice that you see coming out of Hanford, out of San Onofre. You know, the situation's out of control up in the Puget Sound. We didn't see many. I saw one small dolphin in a place with signs all over. Oh, watch the whales. Watch the sea lions. I saw one dolphin in 2 weeks over there. That's
really disgusting. I can't even have words for it, because that's where the North Pacific, the Kuroshio turns into the North Pacific, comes straight across, and off Seattle, off northwestern Washington is where it splits. Yeah. It goes up into the Gulf of Alaska and down.
Yeah. Last time we talked, you asked me, measure seafood. I'm sort of sickened to do that because I just, you know, what do people have left anymore, right? Products of the sea, whatever, can be dredged up, products of the land. And yeah, the clams are radioactive. I don't advise eating clams. The fish is a little bit radioactive, halibut. It's not worked its way down. It's still, luckily, across most of the West Coast, radiation is still in the fresh water. It hasn't really mixed with the seawater until it gets further out into the California current.
Right, right.
But then again, what saves America is killing animals down in Peru and Chile, sea mammals down there. So there is no way. You know, all you do is flush down to your neighbors, and you got to remember your neighbors upstream, they're flushing down to you.
Mm-hmm.
We are all living in a radioactive sewer, and this has got to change. This has to change fast. or there'll be no children left.
No one's talking about it. I agree with you. No one's talking about it. And furthermore, there's really no technology to cleanse the oceans. There really isn't.
There is none. That's why it has to be stopped. Is that you've got to shut down these plants. You got to think of long-term storage. That's got to be a national priority. It's got to really be ramped up. And no more fun and games about reopening nuclear plants, building new types of nuclear plants. These politicians just have to get down to the business that they have to face, that they are confronted with. And the nuclear industry should just be legislative out of existence. Basically, shut it down, clean it up, shut it down, and store it away, and pay some damages to the communities and the individuals that you have harmed for eternity. So that's my conclusion after this tour of the West Coast to some of the major sites of contamination from San Onofre, on the Olympic Coast from Fukushima, and then down on the Columbia River from Hanford. The whole western United States, once sort of like the promised land, the golden land where everyone in the world wanted to migrate to, which had the highest standard of living in the world, sinking like a rock now. And no end in sight. And when it starts to hit bottom, you will see the social destabilization go on. And by then, well, it will look more like hell than the heaven that it once was.
I'm afraid you're right. You've really summed it up powerfully and articulately and graphically and tragically. But it is what it is, and we did it.
Yep, and all I've got to look forward now to is Fukushima, trip number 7.
You take care of yourself.
All right.
Do the best you can.
Very
Thank
good.
You, Yoshi.
All right.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll continue and be back with you tomorrow night. Take care. Lots to think about. We'll talk soon.